Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is a pleasure to welcome a new guest into our studio, a gentleman I've been trying to hook up with for a number of years. He is a very predominant figure in the theatrical world in Rhode Island in that he is the general manager of The Vets, formerly known as VMA, the Veterans Memorial Auditorium. Dan Schwartz is here. Welcome, Dan.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you with us finally. I know you and I have been back and forth a few times, phone calls and emails and setting this up. You're a busy guy, though, and a lot of things happening at the Vets, and tonight we're going to find out about a lot of those, but let's start with you. I know that you were not always a Rhode Islander. Where did you grow up?
I originally grew up right outside Detroit, a city called Farmington Hills, Michigan. Grew up outside there, family, everybody's still out there. Came out to Rhode Island in 2003, actually, as a college student at Johnson & Wales University.
Wow. So you're just a young pup. You're still a Detroit Lions fan?
Lions and Pistons. I do try to keep up with them.
All right. Well, we'll let that go. But when you came to Johnson & Wales, did you have any intention of getting into the theater business, or how did that happen?
Originally, I had no intentions. I came out here, as a lot of people do, for culinary arts. Mm-hmm. That was the main goal, was to get my associates in culinary and bachelor's in food service management. My aunt actually owns a Italian restaurant out in Metro Detroit, so worked there throughout high school, and that was going to become like my career, was working in the food service industry. And mm-hmm. I came out here and I started working at PPAC, and that's kind of what, you know, opened my eyes to the whole, you know, performing arts world and the different career paths and stuff associated with it.
All right, so now your aunt's disappointed that she doesn't have a new chef, right?
Of course.
Well, working at PPAC, the Providence Performing Arts Center, back in those days, you were working with the likes of Alan Chilli and Lynn Singleton and people like that, and PJ and all the great staff over at PPAC. What was your function when you were working with Alan?
Well, I started at PPAC working all the events, so it kind of really started from the ground up, if you think about it. Working the events, I'd be in the lobby taking trash out and kind of getting a good hands-on experience, and then I transitioned into become Alan Chilli's assistant and intern, Alan Chilli, the general manager,
right.
Which really kind of like gave me the full education of what it takes to operate a performing arts hall, the ins and outs of what goes into it, and all the various departments associated with it.
Okay, well, for those of you that don't know Alan Chilli, if you'd like pictures, I have some pictures that he doesn't want spread around, so give me a call and I'll show them to you. But Alan and I actually go back a long way, and a great guy and a great staff. Lots of people there have been in the business for a lot of years, and not a lot of turnover there. I noticed that people, once they get in there, they're there for a long time. That's a good sign.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun industry, you know, when you, for a living, when you are literally presenting entertainment and you do for a living what people do for fun, it's hard to not enjoy it. We really don't consider it work. I mean, when you go into the office and there's a new show loading into the stage, or, you know, at the end of the day, when you, most people are leaving to go home at 5 o'clock, that's when we're kind of welcoming everybody to come see a performance.
Just gearing it up, right?
That's really what the draw is, to really kind of create those experiences and see people's reactions.
All right. We're gonna talk about some of the upcoming events at the Vets. And before we do that, I want to let's touch on the name for a moment. And then I'm going to come back to some of your other past experiences. But the Vets, was it the Vets when you came back here a couple of years ago, or was that rebranded when you arrived?
It was rebranded when I arrived, right at the beginning of the renovations, which started in 2011, is really when they kind of did the rebranding. Mm-hmm. I left PPAC in 2007 and went to another theater that's managed by Professional Facilities Management, the subsidiary of PPAC. And so in the 5 years I was down there, that's when kind of that rebranding happened, as well as the planning of the renovation process. So when I came back, phase one of renovations was already completed.
All right. We're going to talk about more of those renovations, but we'll get to a little music right now. We're going to take a music break. And one of the events coming on January 16th is the Round Philharmonic Orchestra, and 17th is going to be presenting a Strauss event. So I thought we'd just listen to a little Strauss in the meantime, and then we'll come back and talk more with Dan. But right now, we'll go to a little Blue Danube that everybody's familiar with.
Thank you.
really a piece of music to just about everyone. And Dan, there's lots of things, as I mentioned at the top of the show, that's happening at the Vets. So why don't we give everybody a taste of it? We mentioned the Rhode Island Philharmonic, and they're coming January. They have an open rehearsal on the 16th, and then the Strauss program on the 17th, correct?
Correct.
And what happens after that?
So following that, we actually go into the first work show of the season, which is going to be Mummenschanz, which is a group out of Switzerland that does puppetry with black lights. It's very theatrical.
Wow.
It's great for families and that sort of thing. They've been around for years.
I have heard of them. I've never had a chance to see them, but it sounds like a great show.
It is going to be absolutely incredible. And then we kind of take a full turn and go into a comedy, Spink, the 50 Shades of Grey musical parody that we'll be doing. It's actually going to be the turn for them. They were here for two sold-out performances last year. It's a comedy spoof musical based off of the books.
Okay. And then
we kind of end off January with the Philharmonic kind of coming with a new type of piece that they haven't really done a lot in the past with a pop show. They're doing Cirque de la Symphonie. It's going to be a combination of Cirque performers with the Philharmonic. So as you're watching a traditional Philharmonic orchestra, you'll have aerialists and acrobats kind of twirling and spinning and doing their thing over the orchestra and kind of coming out into the audience a little bit. So that'll be kind of a great way to introduce kids and families and stuff like that to the Philharmonic.
Excellent.
February 18th, we have NBC's hit reality show, The Sing Off Live, coming on their national tour for one performance at 7:30 p.m.
Now, see if I can throw a little something in there about The Sing Off, because on the original show, the first program, I had some very good friends of mine. There was a female quartet called Max Factor that was on the very first episode, and they did very well. So they've actually appeared, unbeknownst to you, at the Vets a few years ago. So, see, we'll tie in there, Sing Off, and a quartet that's been there before.
Very nice. Yeah, no, we're very excited to have that show. It's been doing great performances all over the country last season, so we're very excited to be able to bring them to Providence this year.
Great. Then February 25th, you have another interesting show.
Yeah, First Works is going to be presenting Philip Glass, doing a live concert, which will be great. He doesn't normally do a lot of live concerts anymore, so for him to be coming into Providence and doing one will be very exciting for Excellent. The community. We follow that up with One Night of Queen, which will be performed by Gary Mullen in The Works. Gary won a reality singing competition, Stars in Their Eyes, a couple of years ago, and has created a tremendous following. He sounds like and looks like Freddie Mercury.
Wow.
So he'll be coming with his band and his spectacle to do this beautiful Queen tribute concert. And then we go into the comedy end with Craig Ferguson, who's bringing his Hot and Grumpy tour. Craig Ferguson from the Late Late Show.
From the Late Late Show. Doesn't he have a robot as a sidekick or something?
He does. He does. Absolutely. Yes. So he'll be coming on Sunday, March 1st for one performance only. So we have some great things from the Philharmonics to concerts and comedy and kind of everything in between.
Excellent. If you haven't been to the Vets recently, you definitely have to get back there. It's completely renewed and refurbished, and we're going to talk about that after we take a short commercial break, and we'll be back with more of Dan Schwartz and the Vets. We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Dan Schwartz, the general manager of the Vets in downtown Providence. And Dan, we talked a little bit about the fact that the Vets is part of a management group, and you are employed by that management group. One of the things we didn't say, you mentioned you went away to another theater, but we didn't tell everybody that was in Florida, and it was part of the PPAC family, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So PPAC has a subsidiary called PFM, which stands for Professional Facilities Management, and we program, manage, and run several theaters all over the country, from Colorado, Illinois, Connecticut, and here in Providence.
Okay, and down in Florida you went. And a theater about the size of the Vets, roughly, but more of a Broadway-style theater?
Yeah, so it was a Barbara B. Mann Performing Arts Hall in Fort Myers, Florida, if anybody's been down there.
I've actually performed there several times.
Very good.
It's a beautiful theater.
Absolutely, yeah. No, right in beautiful, sunny Florida, we would do all the touring shows. We actually opened up the second national tour for Wicked. We would have the Radio City Christmas Spectacular, plus all the concerts in between, everything from Earth, Wind, and Fire to James Taylor, in a nice small 1,800-seat venue. It was actually a little bit smaller than the Vets's.
Yeah. I actually was there on tour with Music Man, so I know the theater pretty well. It was a great spot, great place to be. And someone then had to convince you to leave there and come back here.
Exactly. So PFM actually started managing the vets for the state back in 2008. And Lynn Singleton, our president, had contacted me about just over two years ago at this point about coming back up to Providence and kind of like a home away from home for me. And working over at the vets during all these renovations and things like that. And it was really a great opportunity to, kind of put my stamp on such a historic landmark and really bring a theater into the 21st century with modern amenities, and then in return bring in new shows with bigger promoters and new presenters, and kind of cultivate all the relationships with our resident companies, such as the Philharmonic First Works and the ballet and that sort of thing.
And now, when they contacted you, was it summertime and hot in Florida and you wanted to get out of there?
Exactly, it was. It was actually...
See, that's a good planning on Lynn's part. He's a smart guy. No, he was not going to call you on December 1st.
No, he called me in the middle of August, which if anybody knows Florida, it is not the... It's like the winter up here. It's not the season you necessarily want to be out there.
So, see, that worked out well. He's a smart guy. And so, getting to the vets and... putting on, getting involved with the renovations and so forth, that must have taken a lot of your time.
Absolutely. So I jumped in right when I got up here, the end of August, into the groundbreaking, if you will, of Phase 2, which is really what the patrons see from the highway. That was that 12-foot addition that we put on along Park Street and along 95, which consists of a new loading dock to actually load the shows into the building, as well as a gallery above it to kind of connect the back of house where the dressing rooms are and some new event space to the theater. So patrons can go to and from those two different areas without having to go outside.
Right.
And if you're familiar with the building, we are on a hill.
Right.
So going outside and around it, it's not just walking on a flat surface. It's up an incline.
Now, we should just, people that are listening saying, well, a 12-foot addition, that doesn't sound like a very big deal. Now, it's 12-foot because that's how much space you could take away from the street.
Exactly.
That's where the building was. That's as far as you could go, and that's wide enough for the loading dock. And that was the initial impetus, was to have something for the loading dock particularly, right?
Exactly. I mean, getting large shows into that building has always been a difficulty. Being on the hill, we had a small freight elevator that can bring equipment to and from the stage to the ground level. But with the hill, the stage itself is actually on the second floor.
Right.
So it's time-consuming, and larger theatrical productions couldn't fit because their equipment wouldn't fit into that little freight elevator.
Correct.
So really, we wanted to put in a dock so the trucks can back right up, which would really make it more appealing to the larger tours on concert and concert on tour, and that sort of thing.
So the 12-foot is in relationship to how wide it is, but there's a lot. There's probably a few thousand square feet of new space in there.
Absolutely. It's 12 feet, off the building, but it's the entire building.
Right,
so we actually added
several stories high.
Several stories. The first floor at street level is the loading dock. The level above that actually has additional restrooms for the lobby, as well as the new art gallery. And then there's actually another third level of restrooms even above that.
All right. And there's a great place for receptions and so forth. And it does enable an artist to get from the backstage area to the lobby without going outside.
Absolutely. Artists can do that. And even patrons now, being right next to the Providence Place Mall with the parking garage over there.
Right.
A lot of our patrons like to go have dinner over there and then walk to the show. Mm-hmm. They now can actually enter the building from the back, from the bottom of the hill, and come up an elevator that brings them right into that gallery.
Now, see, that's an important thing. A lot of people think, well, that's no big deal. I know a lot of people that when they talk about going to the vets, they say, well, I park at the mall, but then I got to walk up that hill, and I got to... So now you've made something that a lot of people will take advantage of and be able to go in there. And I had the privilege, and thanks to you, the privilege of going to a show the other night with Linda Etter, who was just phenomenal. It was a great performance at the theater, and she was able to get from backstage out to the lobby to meet and greet everybody through that new passage. So that's great. Also, when I was there, it was the first time. Now I kind of grew up on that stage, so I've seen lots of phases of that building, and it is absolutely gorgeous inside. They did a phenomenal job. I don't. I don't think you were probably up on the scaffolding with the little paintbrushes, but the workers at Ora did a great job.
Yeah, I was up on the scaffolding, not painting, but I did go up under the scaffolding. Yeah, so phase two that was completed a year ago was the addition off of the side, and then this past year we actually broke into phase three, broke ground on that, which was building three floors of reception space in the back of the theater, and then really kind of transforming the auditorium itself. You know, once you're done with the additions and building that and finished with new dressing rooms and the messy work, as we like to say,
right,
then you can kind of do the nice details and it won't get messed up with all the other work happening. The new carpeting went in, so we repainted the entire auditorium, all of our lobbies. Robert O'Donnell with EF O'Donnell and Sons Painting was responsible for all of the beautiful work you see, all of the hand painting of the proscenium. Our main dome in the auditorium actually represents every city and town in the state of Rhode Island.
Right, the shields that are
39 shields, yeah. And then the hope for the state. That was all a gentleman who sat up there for about a month on a ladder with a paintbrush in his hand, just hand painting all those up there. So there's a lot of detail and a lot of love that went into that. Exactly, exactly. We have some very interesting photos with his shadow kind of up there, and it really is, you know, the craftsmanship that goes into it now. And then we finished up with the new carpeting and then a brand new HVAC system. We were operating with an older steam system, and we wanted to kind of, you know, reduce our impact on the environment and stuff and our operating expenses. So we went with a brand new state-of-the-art system so we can actually properly maintain it. You know, if it's too hot, if it's too cold, we have a beautiful system with all these different sensors throughout the stage, the auditorium, and the lobbies. Mm-hmm. And it will actually heat or cool depending on whatever temperature we have it set to. Where in the past, you had the heat on and it would just keep pumping more heat and more heat.
Yeah.
So we really brought in our efficiency on that, as well as changing all the lights to LED. So we've really done a lot of things in that building to really make it a state-of-the-art, energy-efficient facility.
Well, it is absolutely beautiful, and if you haven't been there for a while, you should get there and see all the changes, and they are wonderful. I'm going to just ask you, Dan, for if people want to get more information. I actually have a great website, and people can go and see some of those pictures you were talking about right on the website. And that is what?
Our website, actually, we just put a new one out there. It's thevetsri.com, thevetsri.com. Has videos of all of our upcoming shows. Like you just mentioned, we do have some images and stuff. We're actually going to be adding in a new video that actually we've been working on that has a timeline from the 1920s through construction all the way through current day. So it'll be some great way for patrons and the public to kind of see all that went into this, because a lot of it happens behind the scenes that they don't really get to witness. And, you know, of course, it's a great spot to buy tickets. Our phone number as well is 401-421-ARTS, 2787. And it's a shared box office between ourselves and PPAC.
Right. 421-ARTS, a very familiar name to most people in southern New England. That's 401 area code, 421-ARTS, and that you can get tickets for all of the events that Dan had been talking about. We're going to take a break and listen to some music from the sing-off, and one of the groups that we know is coming is called Street Corner Symphony. So we'll listen to Auld Lang Syne by Street Corner Symphony, very appropriate for this time of year.
Be forgot and never brought to mind. Should old acquaintance be forgot and old lang syne? For old lang syne, my dear, for old lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for old lang syne. By your pint cup, and surely I'll bat mine, and we'll take a cup of kindness yet for old lang syne, for old lang syne.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Dan Schwartz, General Manager of the Vets in beautiful downtown Providence. And Dan, I know that you mentioned when we first spoke that you came here in the early 2000s to go to school at Johnson & Wales. So your actual personal history of the area might not be quite as good as some of our listeners, and certainly as myself, as I mentioned, growing up on the stage. Interestingly enough, back in the, I think it was early 1980s, I was bringing a convention to the city of Providence, and we were trying to figure out how we could use, at the time, VMA, the Veterans Memorial Auditorium, to our advantage to have the shows there, but we needed bigger dressing room facilities. And the manager at the time said, well, we got this space next door. Let's go in there and see if we can use it. Now, that space next door is now the Renaissance Hotel. But at the time, when I walked in there, it was a very interesting, and I'm sure you've heard other people tell you this, interesting shell of a building. It mm-hmm. was merely, we walked in, and there were ladders, there were paint buckets, there were tools, there were, it was like somebody said in 1929, well, we're done, see ya. And they left, and everything was right there the way they left it. You know, when the money ran out, and that was it. Now, originally, that was a Masonic building.
Yep, that was the original Masonic temple.
Correct. Built in, started building and planned in 1927, built in 1928 in that era. And then when the Depression came, just someone with money for the Masonic temple left.
Exactly.
And all the workers found out and said, oh, we're done. No pay, no work. And so it stayed empty for a long time. Became a big eyesore in Providence, and there was much controversy about it. Building was almost torn down. And as you mentioned, it was saved and refurbished. And finally, the hotel moved in and became a beautiful structure. And now it's kind of one of the pearls of the city. National Historic Landmark, correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
And the hotel is right next door. The actual downstairs, the bowels, if you will, of what was VMA is now part of the hotel ballroom system.
That became the hotel ballrooms, exactly. Right. And that's really when the hotel came on board, that's really what transformed and became the Avenue of the Arts that we always promote as our address, right, which is at Circle right in front of the Vets and the Renaissance Hotel.
Very convenient if you would like, and you would like some valet parking. You can drive right up there for a show at that point, and your car can be parked for you if you don't want to park down at the mall or up at the top
exactly.
of the hill, one way or the other.
The best thing is if you go into the restaurants, public, kitchen, and bar at the Renaissance, they actually provide complimentary valet parking.
Wow. So, in other words, you can go have your meal, have complimentary parking, and then take in a show.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful thing to do. Beautiful thing to do. And it's a wonderful spot. Great place to take, you know, people that are coming in to visit. If you have friends that are coming in from out of town, they say, where should we go? Where should we go? Well, that's one of the spots. You get to see the State House. You get to see a little bit of history. And you can take in one of these shows that we've been talking about. We'll recap some of those shows in a few minutes, but let's talk a little bit more about the building itself. And one of the other things that longtime old people like myself might not know is that there's now an elevator, which is relatively new to the history of the building, mm-hmm. and getting people up to the mezzanine level and so forth. So all the modern conveniences, handicap accessible, all of that's all obviously taken care of now, right?
Absolutely, and a lot of that happened with the hotel being constructed. We never had an elevator, but with the two buildings kind of being connected now, we actually lost some of our restrooms that were on that orchestra level, that main level when you came in on the first floor. Mm-hmm. We had bathrooms to the left-hand side. And when the hotel came in, they connected them, so we lost those bathrooms and put them downstairs. And that's when we added in that new elevator that takes you to the lower lobby where the restrooms are, as well as the mezzanine level where we have additional restrooms.
Right. And there's function space on the upper levels. If you've only come into vets and you just walk in the main lobby area and then happen to sit in the orchestra, you might not even be aware of it. There's quite a bit of space upstairs.
Absolutely. We have bars on every level. We have restrooms on every level. It really has come a long way. We've added a lot of new restrooms that are fully ADA compliant.
Mm-hmm. A lot of creature features in the theater itself. In other words, for a patron to go in and sit down, be very comfortable. Lines of sight are great. This isn't putting down any other theater, but the place you used to work, you can be sitting a long way away from some of those acts on occasion. But at Vets, you're on top of it. You're wherever you sit, you're not really a bad seat in the house.
The Vets was built as a concert hall. You know, when you look at like the Province Performing Arts Center, built as the original Lowe's Movie Theater,
right,
transitioning into what it is now with the Broadway.
Right, with over 3,000 seats.
It's with 3,000 seats, right. Yeah, the Vets, we have 1,933 seats, so it's a very intimate feel. Built specifically for our acoustics with our the orchestra shell and all those different elements to really make the acoustics, you know, without having any amplification from an audio system. You can stand center stage and mm-hmm. speak and mm-hmm. sing and have it fill the rafters.
Absolutely. And also one of the new features is you mentioned 1,900 and change seats. Used to be 2,108 at one time, and then was refurbished and new seats put in some areas, and an aisle created, which separates kind of the front orchestra from the rest of the orchestra. Right?
Absolutely. A large two rows of seats were taken out right in front of row K.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of creates a little bit more egress to come in and out of the theater, as well as, you know, we do a lot of community shows, a lot of graduations, and dance competitions and things like that. So it actually allows people to kind of flow better to and from their seats,
right,
and not like trip over or bump their knee and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So we did take out some of those seats years ago to make some additional aisleways and things like that.
I think all of this just leads up to the fact that it's a tremendous building. A lot of work has been done, and Dan and his team have are continuing to make improvements all the time. And a lot of great shows coming in. We've talked about several of them. Just kind of recapping for a moment, we have the Philharmonic coming in January, and then the Mumashants in January 22nd, Spank January 25th, and January 31st, the Philharmonic back again. And then February 18th, the Sing-Off and tour, and we just played some music from Street Corner Symphony that'll be part of that. And then February 25th, tell us about this concert coming in.
February 25th, we're actually going to be welcoming Philip Glass. He's going to be actually performing along with Tim Finn. The two of them kind of doing like more of like a chamber theater recital in a beautiful venue. Philip will be on the piano, composer of many famous pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't perform a lot of live concerts anymore. So, you know, that's one of the things we keep saying is that he doesn't go on tour, you know, and do 100 shows a year. You know, so for him to be coming to Providence and doing a live performance with Tim, it's really going to be an event you don't want to miss. I mean, he is a huge name within the industry.
We'll listen to some of his music as we go out on the show this evening. But talking about Philip Glass, you want to make sure you get tickets for that. They can order tickets right on the website, right?
Yep, right on the website, thevetsri.com, or by calling the box office at 401-421-ARTS.
Now, on that website, talking about ordering tickets, for those of you that haven't been there yet, you can actually pick your own seats, correct?
Mm-hmm. We have a brand new system. You can actually pick your own seats. You can actually print the tickets right from home. So if you don't want to have them mailed, if it's an immediate gift, you can actually print it right from home. And we actually are adding in the new technology now with you can actually show your cell phone with a barcode to come into the event and not even have to print tickets.
Pretty soon you don't even have to go anymore.
Exactly. We don't want that to happen.
No, that's a step we don't want to have happen. Well, that's great. So check it out. There are seats left, but as Dan mentioned, He doesn't do this very often, so I have a feeling this will probably be one of your sellouts, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so get to the website or give them a call at 421-ARTS and get your tickets. And other things that are happening after that, we have tribute to Queen coming in and Craig Ferguson and some other things down the road after that too, right?
Absolutely, yeah. One of the new shows we're actually bringing this year that's kind of a different type of live performance is actually going to be on March 4th. We actually have America's Test Kitchen, the very popular cooking show on PBS.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually going to be coming in on March 4th and doing a live performance. Chris Kimball, the host of that, will be coming in with his team from America's Test Kitchen, and they'll be doing all sorts of different testing and videos and taste testing for audience members and stuff. It's really going to be a very fun, interactive live event.
Wow. So right at the Vets. Actually get to taste something.
Yeah, there'll be some chocolate tasting for some audience members and that sort of thing. So that's going to be a very fun one. And then we actually welcome back Britt Floyd. They'll be coming in April for their third consecutive year. They sell out year after year. It's this incredible Pink Floyd tribute show. Mm-hmm. And they come in with the lights. And you just sit back and you're just, you know, it just blows you away.
You just go to the dark side of the moon.
Exactly. Absolutely. So we're very excited to have them. And then one thing that we've started doing on an annual basis is Richard Nader's Rock and Roll Doo-Wop All-Stars, and that'll be coming again on May 2nd. And they'll be bringing in Shirley Alton Reeves, the original lead singer of the Shirelles,
wow.
Charlie Thomas and the Drifters, all those famous doo-wop and rock and roll singers
mm-hmm.
Will be performing live on the Vet stage together in this incredible live concert.
Great. So all of those things you can check out on the website, get the information, and a lot of great things happening at the Vets and at PPAC, so you can make one phone call, 421-ARTS, and get tickets for both venues.
Absolutely, and we actually have gift cards and everything available now if you want, looking at something to make a wonderful last-minute holiday gift. Live performances, it creates an experience and a memory that'll, you know, last forever.
So you can go on right now if you were saying, well, I don't have time to get the stocking stuffer because Christmas is just 4 days away. You can print them right on your very own printer, print the tickets, and maybe print a little promo from the website and stick that right in there and get yourself a great Christmas present. Well, I want to just thank you so much for coming in, Dan. We've gotten a lot of information from you. And I hope this becomes a regular thing where you come back and keep us
Absolutely.
Posted.
Absolutely. This was a lot of fun. I would definitely love to come back.
All right. We will go out listening to music, as we mentioned, from Philip Glass. And then we'll look forward to see the rest of you next week on Conducting Conversations. Thank you. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.